The prophecy concerning the rebirth of the Holy Roman Empire is one of the most critical prophecies in the entire Bible. Without proper understanding of this prophecy, it's impossible to really grasp the entire scope of the prophecies God has given us. On today's edition of End of the Age, we will discuss the ongoing fulfillment of this amazing prophecy. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Dave Robbins with End Time Ministries. Thank you for joining me on Thursday's edition of End of the Age. Now, I'm going to get all off into the reborn Holy Roman Empire, and it's one of the main prophecies that we use to prove we are truly living in the end time. It's real easy to do that. Going through this prophecy, a lot of people say, "Oh, you guys say we're living in the end times." You know, I've heard that for years. There's no way you can prove that. Well, there is. There's many ways we can prove that. And like I said, this prophecy I'm going to go through today is one of the easier ways to do that because it's such a very prominent prophecy going on in our world today. Before I do that, I've got to announce the prophecy conference in Houston, Texas. This coming weekend with Irvin Baxter, he's going to be teaching a brand new lesson, Satan's End Time Plan Revealed, and that's this Saturday, February 2nd at 6 p.m., and that's going to be at the Christ Church, 12815 Fuqua Street in Houston, Texas. And then on Sunday morning, something unique we're going to get away from. I think on Tuesday, I announced that we would be doing a prophecy update with the Q&A. The pastor has requested on Sunday morning that Irvin teach on receiving the Holy Ghost. And so if you've never heard Irvin teach on receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost and everything that goes along with that, how to receive the Holy Ghost. And a lot of people believe that, hey, I received the Holy Ghost when I believed. Well, is that really the case? Well, you need to come and hear Irvin teach on it this Sunday morning if you're anywhere around the Houston area. And I've heard him do this, I've known Irvin since I was 9 years old. Heard him do it many, many times. And it's what we did in New York to culminate to the solidify the church there at the end. And so if you're anywhere around Houston, you need to hear Irvin teach on receiving the Holy Ghost, and it's going to be at the same church that Sunday morning, February 3rd at 10 a.m. And if you need some more information, maps, phone numbers, all that stuff, go to endtime.com, go under the events section, and then conferences, and you can get all the information you need about the conference in Houston this weekend, or call 1-800-END-TIME, 1-800-363-8463. And to hear Irvin teach on the Holy Ghost, if you've never heard about it, receiving the Holy Ghost, it's an awesome, awesome message. A lot of people don't have a clue about that now. You say, well, receiving the Holy Ghost, I've never been taught about that. It was a very common experience. It was taught in the New Testament church. So if you've never been taught on receiving the Holy Ghost, and you're around the Houston area, we've got more and more pastors doing this now. Go down there and hear Irvin on this Sunday morning. Now, I'm going to get into the prophecy of the reborn Holy Roman Empire. It is, like I said, it's one of the most, it's not the easiest to understand, but once you do understand it, it's the easiest, one of the easiest ones we use to prove we truly are living in the end time. So, the Politico ran an article. And this all ties in together. You'll see as we go through here. The United Nations, the UN Secretary General, Antonio Guterres, just got awarded the Charlemagne Prize for 2019. Now, he's not going to get the prize until a couple, 2 or 3 months from now. He'll go to Aachen, Germany and receive the prize. And the award this ties into my program today. The awards board of directors announced that Gutierrez as the winner, and he said that it's the it is a recognition of Gutierrez for his dedication to the revitalization and the consolidation of multilateral cooperation based on the values and objectives of the European Union and the United Nations. So you say, wow, that's a mouthful. Okay, let me break it down. In other words, the European Union is the model for the socialistic world government, and Antonio Guterres has worked towards their unification over this past year, and which the world government and the European Union working together to form this world government, that's why he got the prize. Antonio Guterres, you say, well, socialistic world government. Why would you say that? Well, Antonio Guterres, he was formerly the president of the Socialist International from 1999 to 2005. The Socialist International, on their website, states that they are for strengthening the United Nations, and that it is an important step in the creation of the new democratic world society. So they're all about a world government. And socialism is the political ideology of the prophesied end-time world government and the current liberal international order. Antonio Guterres is, always was, and is still a socialist. So, when we get back, I'll get back off into the Charlemagne Prize just a little bit, then we'll get into the prophecy.
We've seen Bible prophecy fulfilled like never before. From the halls of the United Nations to the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, End Time Ministries continues to reveal the Bible prophecy in the news headlines around the world every day. Whether it's through our broadcast or online at our Jerusalem Prophecy College, your gifts enable us to put vital materials in the hands of those who need it most. Because of you, we continue to replace fear with faith. In the hearts of Christians around the world, we will continue to see prophecy come to pass at an even swifter pace. We need your support. Your donation of any amount enables us to continue to broadcast and be a voice in the ever-growing censored media. To become a partner or give a one-time gift, visit endtime.com or call 1-800-END-TIME right now. That's 800-363-8463. Go online now. Visit endtime.com.
I have left a piece of my heart in Israel and her people. We would like to thank End Time for doing such an awesome job with our Israel tour. We marvel at your team keeping the time schedule, keeping everyone comfortable, the wonderful driver, the brilliant guide, the entire tour program, good hotel choices, and stellar food. We had the privilege to rub shoulders with Pastor Baxter, listen to his current teachings, and had some interesting questions answered so eloquently. He is wonderful. Helene from Australia.
Experience the Holy Land in the most amazing way. Join Irvin and Judy Baxter for our upcoming Israel tour. For more information, go to endtime.com or call 1-800-END-TIME. That's 1-800-363-8463.
So if you remember, the Charlemagne Prize is awarded each year by the European Union to the person that has done the most that year towards rebuilding the empire of Charlemagne or the Holy Roman Empire. So what's the goal of the current model? Well, it's borderless nations. I mean, you can see this. It's in the news all the time. And think about that model and what they're trying to do to the United States. A borderless nations, one currency, sovereignty yielded up to a central government in Brussels, one president, one foreign minister. I mean, the list goes on and on. So the Holy Roman Empire that Europe is creating, along with the leaders and the nations involved, they are all a part of the ongoing fulfillment of many Bible prophecies. And we've got to talk about it. You say, well, that's over in Europe. I live in America. Well, the fact of the matter is most of the fulfillment of Bible prophecies will be overseas. So if it doesn't concern America and we kind of sit here isolated from that and don't study it, a lot of this stuff is going to sweep you by, and it'd be kind of hard for you to believe, well, we're in the end time. No. You got to look overseas. What's going on in Israel and in Europe and different places to see how close we are to the end time, because most of these prophecies are focused over there. So that's why we talk about them all the time. Now, Charlemagne's Holy Roman Empire will be the power base of the Antichrist and the false prophet in the end time. That's why we stay studied up on this. This empire is exactly what Germany's Angela Merkel and French and the France's president Emmanuel Macron, this is what they're working to build. And so the empire of Charlemagne, many of you will know that on December 25, 800 AD, Pope Leo III placed a crown on the head of the king of the Franks, Charlemagne. He was a Germanic king. And they pronounced him the emperor of the first emperor of the Holy Roman Empire. And that became the official birth of the Holy Roman Empire. And from that point onward, Charlemagne became known as the father of the Holy Roman Empire. For the next 1,000 years, Europe was ruled by a partnership between the strongest political leader of Europe, many times from Germany. Almost all of them were Germanic kings. And then, of course, the religious leader from Rome, which was always the Pope from the very get-go, all the way from 800 AD on. And it was the fulfillment of the dream of reviving the ancient Roman Empire with the religious element added in. So this, when you talk about the Roman Empire, Caesars, gladiators, the Colosseum, okay, this is not that. That ended about 284 AD. This began the Holy Roman Empire. That was ran by the Caesars, the Senate, you know the movie Gladiator and all that other. Well, think about that. That's the Roman Empire. I'm talking about the Holy Roman Empire. There was a religious element added in. It wasn't just the emperor, but there was also the pope they worked alongside. And that, so there was a religious element added in. Big difference in the Roman Empire and the Holy Roman Empire. By combining the political influence with the religious influence, a new kind of empire was born. And thus it was called the Holy Roman Empire. And if you study prophecy, you got to know the difference between the two. So this alliance between politics and religion, that dominated Europe until 1806, or about 1,000 years. And when Emperor Francis II was defeated by Napoleon, Napoleon declared the Holy Roman Empire was dead. And most of the historians agreed the Holy Roman Empire ceased to exist. However, the Bible prophesies that the Holy Roman Empire, and it's very specific when it does, the Holy Roman Empire would be in power at the time of the Battle of Armageddon and the second coming of Jesus Christ to the earth. Now, does that indicate that the Holy Roman Empire is destined to be reborn? Absolutely. So let me explain, and I'll get into the prophecy segment here in just a moment, but I want to explain how Germany's Angela Merkel and France's Emmanuel Macron, the president of France, they are further uniting to establish their unification is prophecy as well. They are uniting to establish the kingdom of Charlemagne, this union of politics and religion and the union of the European Union itself, which is the ongoing fulfillment of Bible prophecy. So I'm going to start out with a secular article, and then I'm going to tie prophecy into segments of that all the way down through here. And you'll see that once you understand the prophecy and tie it into modern day, the prophecy was given 2,500 years ago. This also adds to the validity of the Bible. It's the only book you can go back to that you can use current events to show how prophecies written that far back are coming to pass right now. There's no other book in the world you can do that with. Think about that. The Bible's the best-selling book of all time for a reason. And so this comes from the American thinker. And the title is, now this is like, again, this is secular. The title is Macron's Dream is Europe's Nightmare. So, last week, France and Germany signed an update of the Treaty of Aachen. Now, Aachen, Germany, was the home of Charlemagne. So all of this is very symbolic. They're not just doing this haphazardly. Let's just pick Aachen. No, it's very symbolic why they're doing it in Aachen. It's where the Charlemagne Prize is given out every year. They bring leaders from all over the world to give the prize there. The prize is $1 million to whoever works the most that year for the unification of Germany or to establish this Holy Roman Empire, to reestablish it. So the gist of the document is that it brings the two powerhouses of the European Union closer together in terms of economics, politics, defense matters. You know, the European army they're trying to establish. And among other things, this is the genesis of the real European army, which French President Emmanuel Macron previously called for, and also German Chancellor Angela Merkel is in full accord with. So these are the two powerhouses. And think about Europe today. You've got, who's the two leaders you hear about all the time in the news? Angela Merkel and the French President Emmanuel Macron. We talk about him all the time because if I had to make a list of the top, let's say, 5 or 10 candidates for the Antichrist, which it could be none of these 10 that I'm thinking of, but I would definitely have Emmanuel Macron on there with some of the things that he's doing. And as I go through here, you'll see what I'm saying. In Daniel chapter 7, and in going along with this prophecy, you know, so I'm jumping from the article to prophecy, back to the article, back to prophecy, so you can see I'm interweaving it in through here. So in Daniel 7, Daniel was given a vision of four beasts that represented kingdoms or nations that would exist at the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ. The four beasts described in Daniel 7, verses 4 through 7, and the modern nations they symbolize are a lion with eagle's wings, which is Great Britain and the United States, a bear, which is Russia, the Russian bear, a four-headed leopard. Now, this prophecy, again, this was written by Daniel when he was in Babylonian captivity 2,500 years ago. These nations are currently on the earth today. I mean, that's a miracle in itself. So, a bear, Russia, a four-headed leopard, Germany, a ten-horned beast, the reborn Holy Roman Empire, or the current European Union. And more specifically, think about this with what I just said about the union between the Germany and France. Verse 6 says that, after this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. So I don't have time to prove this, but the four-headed leopard symbolizes Germany. I can prove it. It's just there's no way I'd get through all my information today if I took time to went down that side rail. So, and the four wings of a fowl symbolize France. And you've heard about the Franco-German alliance for decades now. Well, that was prophesied about in Scripture 2,500 years ago. And the four wings of the fowl symbolizes France, which has the national animal symbol of the rooster or the fowl. And so you can see the prophetic significance of all of this. This is just one aspect of it. And the article continues by saying the signing in Aachen, Aachen, Germany, is it's highly symbolic. Like I said, Aachen is a German city that borders Belgium and the Netherlands. And it was the imperial residence of Charlemagne from 936 to 1531 AD. And the place is where 31 Holy Roman emperors were crowned kings of the Germans. So the Bible says dominion was given to Germany. The majority of emperors throughout the Holy Roman Empire were Germanic kings. And you know about them starting the last three major wars, and we've talked about that many times. Well, one way to understand France and Germany is to know that that images of Charlemagne are dancing in their heads, that they are fighting for and to create this unified European situation, just like Charlemagne was doing. Same thing, along with the Pope. The Pope's involved in all of this, okay? Just like the original Holy Roman Empire. So here in the U.S., the EU is often seen, when you think about it, as I'm talking about it, the EU, picture that in your mind, the European Union. We here in the U.S. think, we often look at some of the parts of the European Union as sort of a woolly-headed utopian pipe dream. Oh, yeah, they're trying to, that's a model for the world government. Yeah, sure. No, that's very serious what they're trying to do. That's why Antonio Guterres, the leader of the world government, the United Nations on the earth today, the seat of world government, just got awarded the Charlemagne Prize for being the one recognized working most towards the European unification. You understand what's going on here. World government, the European Union working hand in hand. How, and also, I might add, Pope Francis has received the Charlemagne Prize in the past as well. However, the core of the EU has always been something different. Something very, very hard-nosed, not soft-hearted at all. The EU is ultimately about European greatness in the spirit of Charles the Great or Charlemagne. So you understand what's really going on here. And the Bible prophesies all of this is going to happen. There will be a reborn Holy Roman Empire, or I should say a Holy Roman Empire in power, the seat of the Antichrist and the false prophet, just prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ and the Battle of Armageddon. That they are working to establish that now. The current European Union is the reborn Holy Roman Empire. Now, Charlemagne unified Europe as the Holy Roman Empire by the sword and a sea of blood. And for this, they call him the father of Europe. So who can doubt that Macron he's going to sell his soul to have a Charlemagne-like united Europe. You can see him doing it as we speak. And really ruled by an imperial elite like himself according to the progressives' taste in Europe. The Frenchman, obviously, he may indeed see himself as the new Charlemagne. I mean, where did Germany and France go to sign this unification agreement? Aachen, Germany, the home of Charlemagne. And as for the Franco-German alliance or a marriage, if you will, the author of this article writes that the French are untainted by German guilt, and because of Germany sees itself as what, you know, the Holocaust and these world wars. Well, the French were one of the five victors of World War II. So they're untainted by the guilt the Germans have, and they're free to use their political skills and German economic might because of these documents that they've signed to create the European empire of their dreams. Now, speaking of diplomacy, we also have to note that of Tuesday's signing is that the Aachen document prioritizes, and this is where it gets very detailed, okay? In the document, it prioritizes that Germany being eventually accepted, that it would be eventually accepted as a permanent member of the UN Security Council, which it mandates as a priority for French-German diplomacy. So, a better proposition would be for France to share its Security Council seat with Germany or surrender it to the EU. So, I've got to pause right here because you say, well, what's the significance of that? Well, you understand that Germany and France, the leopard with wings of a fowl, are mentioned in Daniel 7. But when you look at the world government beast in Revelation 13, the leopard is there. The Bible says it had the body of the leopard, but the wings of a fowl are not mentioned. So We've always questioned, you know, why aren't the wings of a fowl mentioned? Well, could it be that, and this is, again, this is a question, it's speculation. Could it be that Germany has taken France's United Nations Security Council seat and that France has taken a back seat because Germany is a whole lot more economically advanced than and stronger than France? And so France has a seat there. I mean, let me put it like this. So we've always wondered how that would play out. Why isn't France the wings of a fowl on that beast, but the leopard is? And that could be one scenario. The you understand that the five victor nations of World War II were China, France, Russia, the United Kingdom, and the United States. They're currently the permanent members of the UN Security Council. Each one of those has veto power over substantive resolutions of the Security Council. So Germany does not have a seat there. But this agreement that they just signed allows for calls for Germany to have a seat there alongside of France or to have a position on the UN Security Council. I don't know if that is if they can do that through the that the United Nations would allow that, the Security Council. I don't know. But this is what they're propositioning, and who knows but how that's out will play out. I don't know, that speculation on my part. But when I saw this, I was like, oh man, here we go. This could be why Germany's mentioned involved in the world government, but the wings of the fowl are not mentioned there. Now, again, that's something we'll probably have to live through to figure all that out. But it's very important. Now, I know we're coming up to a break. When we get back from the break, I'm going to speculate along with the writer of the article why France and Germany want this European army they've talked about. And how that will coincide with maybe the United States, China, Russia.
Move Mountains with Irvin Baxter. This book by Irvin's grandson provides 30 days of devotion that will enhance your relationship with God and others. Authentic illustrations from early morning devotions at end time will help you find your purpose and eliminate fears. Commit to taking this 30-day journey and experience real life change. Get your book for only $14.99. Call 1-800-363-8463 or go to endtime.com/move.
If ever people needed to hear the unvarnished truth, it is now. There are some subjects that are not politically correct to talk about, but they're urgent. That's why I'm grateful for End Time Magazine. If you're not a subscriber, you're missing information that will impact your life. End Time has a bi-monthly magazine that explains how current events are fulfilling Bible prophecy. You can get a 2-year subscription for only $29. You can also get a bulk subscription and pass them out to your church. We have gotten reports that End Time Magazine has caused spiritual awakenings in churches when they see the prophecies being fulfilled right now. You can start your own ministry and lead them in doctor's offices, libraries, laundromats. You never know if you might be responsible for saving someone who is searching for the unvarnished truth. That's what the magazine has done in many lives. Call 1-800-END-TIME. That's 1-800-363-8463. And get your subscription today.
If your station only carries the first 30 minutes of End of the Age, go to endtime.com and click the watch button to continue today's broadcast. You can also finish up later by clicking the archive button.
So the question becomes, because of this, you know, the strengthening of Macron and France and Germany and Merkel, why do Macron and Merkel want a European army? Who are they afraid of? Well, judging by their commercial actions and, you know, the Germany buying gas from Russia and different things and NATO defense spending, it can't be the Russians. I mean, Germany's fine with being dependent upon Russia for many of its energy needs and with being dependent on the U.S. for its defense. I mean, Donald Trump's been hounding them because the United States is paying the lion's share of the NATO defense budget. Well, in addition, the Russians are not they're not a great worry. They're economically anemic, and their demographic profile is so poor that it's a threat to the unity of the Russian Federation itself. Okay, so are they afraid of China? Well, China's half a world away. And besides, the Americans, we would deal with them if it all come right down to it. And so that's not the case. The enemies that Merkel and Macron see are the populist within Europe. Think about it. The people who chafe under the globalism and dogmatic rule from Brussels, their parliaments located in Brussels, right across the street from the Charlemagne building. So the people who love their country and culture, this is why they want a European army. And those are the ones who any European army under French and German control, they will be designed to subdue those individuals. Because you understand what just happened in France. Emmanuel Macron was going to issue this big gas tax, and there was this huge uprising. You've heard about the yellow vests. Everybody took to the streets and said, well, that's not going to happen. And he ended up having to recant and back off of it. And so they've talked about there are uprisings, populist uprisings all across the European Union. They need a way to squelch that. So why do you think, it's a speculation, why do you think they want an EU army? And if you doubt that, look at what was said at the Aachen signing last Tuesday. In a typical twisted Gallic logic, Macron said that those who forget the value of Franco-German reconciliation are making themselves accomplices of the crimes of the past. Those who spread lies are hurting the same people they are pretending to defend by seeking to repeat history. And then Merkel said that populism and nationalism are strengthening in all of our countries. Or nationalism, somebody, you know, in other words, instead of them, people wanting to yield up their sovereignty to this centralized government, this parliament in Brussels, they're wanting to protect their own countries, even though they're part of the European Union. Angela Merkel does not like that. Neither does the French President Macron. They want to see nations yield up. I've got quotes of Angela Merkel saying that Germany's already yielded up a lot of its sovereignty. We need everybody. Everybody else needs to be prepared to. She said 74 years, a single human lifetime after the end of the Second World War, what seems self-evident is being questioned once more. In other words, either you're with us or you're either with us in our vision of this united Europe, this like what Churchill say, the United States of Europe. Either you're with us in our vision of that, or you're against us. And incidentally, retroactively complicit in starting World War II. Now, this is how they're spinning this thing. Now, they say that they actually made the quote, nationalism is the new Nazism. And one needs little justification to suppress Nazis, right? Well, what they're doing is they're trying to vilify Trump's America First policy. Why? Because they fully advocate a world government and Trump doesn't. When Trump goes to speak at the General Assembly at the United Nations in September, every time he spoke now, twice since he's been elected president, he hammers socialism, he hammers globalization, and these people are the model of globalization on the planet. They can't stand it. Donald Trump says, I'm a nationalist. They come right out in his face and attack him. And they're saying, this nationalistic spirit is coming up in Europe. We need something to squelch that. Now, the European elite, they've been longing for an updated version of the Holy Roman Empire for the past 1,200 years. And that's why the city of Aachen has been giving out this prestigious Charlemagne Prize. They know exactly what they're trying to do. They give it out every year since 1950 for, like I said, exceptional work done in the service of European unification. Well, not surprisingly, Macron was awarded it back in 2018 for offering his vision of a new Europe. Merkel got her prize in 2008. Pope Francis was awarded it in 2016. So Americans may look at Macron as an ineffective politician over there, but he sees himself very differently. In his mind, Macron is clothed in regal robes, sitting on a throne with Europe at his feet. And in any event, if not Macron, we know prophetically, but there's going to be someone else in Europe who will aspire to be Charlemagne too. And he or some other individual will not let the common folk stand in the way. Charlemagne didn't. So now you can see the ongoing fulfillment of this Bible prophecy. So think about it like this. Can you envision the ongoing fulfillment of this 2,000 to 2,500 year old prophecy? Because it was prophesied about both in the Old Testament by Daniel and in the New Testament, Revelation chapter 17, by John. So it's a 2,000 to 2,500 year old prophecy of a Holy Roman Empire just prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ. So let's get off into the prophecy real quick, because I want to make sure you understand this, because we're watching it happen right now. It's one of the ways we prove we are living in the end time. These are unprecedented events, everybody. In Daniel chapter 2, the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar had a dream of a statue which had a head of gold, arms and breast of silver, belly and thighs of brass, legs of iron, and feet of iron mingled with clay. 2,500 years ago, and I got to stress that. I mean, think about it. What were you doing 2,500 years ago? None of us were even dreamed of. This building I'm sitting in wasn't dreamed of. So 2,500 years ago, but yet, you know, people would say, oh, there's no God. There's nothing to the Bible. Let's not pay any attention to that. But 2,500 years ago, Daniel, down in Babylonian captivity, he interprets the dream for Nebuchadnezzar. You remember Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. He didn't know what it was, couldn't remember. Daniel comes and interprets the dream for him. And the Bible foretells that this statue in the dream symbolizes empires that would rule from Nebuchadnezzar's era until the time when Jesus would establish his kingdom on the earth. However, these empires that are referred to in the dream, they weren't just any empires. They were the five empires that would dominate the entire world from the time of Nebuchadnezzar until God's return to establish his kingdom upon the earth. Notice that in Daniel 2:39 it says, but after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to yours, then another and a third kingdom of bronze. This is the key statement, which shall rule over all the earth. Each one of these empires ruled over the known world during their era. Okay? And the last one will as well. The seed of the Antichrist will be the current Holy Roman Empire, which is the European Union. So the prophecy explicitly tells us that Nebuchadnezzar and his Babylonian kingdom was the head of gold, which ruled from the Babylonian kingdom ruled from 604 to 539 BC. The last king to rule over Babylon was Belshazzar, Nebuchadnezzar's grandson. And you remember the night of his impious feast, there was a handwriting on the wall. Well, that night, the Medes and the Persians invaded Babylon. They overthrew the kingdom of Babylon, and they ruled the entire known world during that time, from 539 BC until 331 BC. And this is all prophesied about. I mean, I'm going through history now, but this was prophesied about in Nebuchadnezzar's dream in Daniel 2. The head of gold was Babylon. The arms and breast of silver represented the Medes and the Persians. And then in 331 BC, Alexander the Great conquered the empire of the Medes and the Persians. And that began the reign of the Grecian Empire. Greece ruled the world from 331 BC to 197 BC. That's the belly and thighs of brass in the statue that represented the Grecian Empire. And then in 146 BC, the Romans defeated the Grecians and began their reign. and the legs of iron in the statue of Nebuchadnezzar's vision, that symbolizes the Roman Empire. And it was the strongest empire. It lasted the longest. The Roman Empire ruled from 146 B.C. until around 284 A.D. So most of you know this. The Romans were in power during the time of Christ. That's why there were Roman soldiers at his crucifixion. A lot of people wonder that. Why was there Roman soldiers there? Why was he taken before a Roman judge, Pilate? Because Rome ruled the world at that time, and they had occupying forces in Jerusalem when Jesus and the disciples were there. So notice as we move from one segment to the next of the image, the metal changes. Changes from gold to silver to brass to iron until the very last segment. And when you move from the legs of iron to the feet of iron mingled with clay, the iron carries over into the last part of the image. So what's that tell us? Well, that indicates that the last empire is not going to be the Roman Empire, but it will be related to the Roman Empire. And you study your history. They are related, but they're not the same empire. The Roman element continued from the Holy Roman Empire. The Roman Empire went to about 284 A.D. There was a Roman element that continued from 300 A.D. to 800 A.D., but it was not the Roman Empire that run the whole world. There was a Roman Empire, but not the one that run the whole world, okay? Then in 800 A.D., the Holy Roman Empire was born. So big difference there. Now, there is a misconception that I want to go over, because I face this a lot. Me, Doug Norvell, Irvin Baxter, when we go to a prophecy conference, people stand up to ask us. I get emails and stuff about it. There is a misconception that Nebuchadnezzar's dream only symbolized four empires. This is very, very important. Clarence Larkin, if you've heard of his book, he referred to these four empires as the four worldwide empires in his book, Dispensational Truth. And this is where the teaching of Nebuchadnezzar's dream in Daniel 2 and the four separate beasts of Daniel 7, a lot of people teach that they symbolize the same thing, that Daniel 7 is a mere image of Daniel 2. But you get way out of the foundational aspects of several prophecies. You get that way off if you look at it from that viewpoint. In Daniel 2, there are actually five empires. And so it's very important that you get that, because you're going to get real messed up when you get over into prophecy later on.
Many Christians admit end-time Bible prophecy is very complex and difficult to understand, and for some, a little bit scary. But what if you could understand Bible prophecy? What if you could know what will happen and how the United States will play a key role during end-time events? When you call today and get Understanding the End Time DVD curriculum, you can have peace about what is to come while understanding the prophetic events that appear in our headlines every day. When you call or go online to endtime.com and order, you'll learn the answer to the biggest prophecy question of all. Will the rapture take place, and when will it happen? This 14-part DVD series is the definitive end-time prophecy Bible study available. And for this limited time, you can get it for just $149. Don't miss this special offer. Understanding the End Time. Call now, 1-800-363-8463. That's 1-800-END-TIME. Or go to endtime.com today.
So you have to understand, remember, like I said before the break, the music kind of cut me off there, but in Daniel chapter 2, there are five empires, the legs of iron mingled with clay, and the legs of iron, and then the feet of iron mingled with clay, two separate empires. So Clarence Larkin taught there were four, there were actually five. And so the Roman Empire was a secular empire. But the Holy Roman Empire was an alliance of church and state, a union of politics and religion. Go back and do your history. You'll see what I'm saying is true. The Holy Roman Empire was born December 25th, 800 AD, like I said, when Pope Leo III placed a crown on the head of Charlemagne, stating that he was the first emperor of the Holy Roman Empire. And the depiction of the feet of iron mingled with clay in Nebuchadnezzar's vision, it symbolized the Roman element, the iron, but it also had the religious element, which was the clay in the feet. The Holy Roman Empire ruled the world for the next 1,000 years. The Holy Roman Empire was always led by two leaders. And this is the way it's going to be ran just prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ. It was always ran by two leaders, a political leader from Europe, the spiritual leader from Rome, which was always, from Italy, which was always the Pope. The spiritual leader was always the leader of the Roman Catholic Church. So this prophecy from Daniel 2 portrays a stone coming down, Nebuchadnezzar's vision at the very end of the prophecy, a stone coming down out of the mountain, striking the image on the feet. And it says that the stone represented the kingdom of God, which would come and destroy all the governments of men. And throughout the Bible, we're told mankind will be allowed to rule himself until the time of the kingdom of God. That's going to be the time of the end of human government arrives. God himself will come, put down the thrones of men, establish his kingdom, a kingdom that will never pass away and never be destroyed. So this is what the stone in Daniel 2 coming down, that's what the stone coming down from the mountain represents, the kingdom of God. The Bible says that the stone, the kingdom of God, smote the statue, Nebuchadnezzar's vision, remember, smote the statue on the feet of the iron mingled with clay. This is how we know the Holy Roman Empire will be in power at the time that the Messiah comes to put down the thrones of men and establish his kingdom. Now, and there are other ways in the Bible. I don't have time in my last segment to prove it, but there are other ways that I can prove that this is the last kingdom that will be on the earth at the time of the second coming. Now, some say that the Holy Roman Empire ceased to exist in 1806 when Napoleon forced Francis II, the last Holy Roman Empire, or emperor, I should say, to abdicate, declaring the Holy Roman Empire dead. And some say that that's true. However, the prophecy indicates the Holy Roman Empire is going to exist at the time of the second coming. So in an amazing fulfillment of the prophecy, the Holy Roman Empire was reborn on November 3rd, 2009, when 28 members of the European Union signed a European constitution called the Treaty of Lisbon. Very, very important. So the rebirth of the Holy Roman Empire is, I'll get off into as much of it as I can. So a lot of you would know after World War II, Europe laid in shambles. You see pictures of Europe after World War II, and man, I mean, everything was torn down in cities except the Catholic Church. So the powers of Europe had fought three major wars over the last 70 years. Franco-German War of 1870, World War I, World War II, and the statesmen of Europe, they realized that Europe would be relegated to the dustbin of history unless it moved in a new direction. And because Europe had always been a powerful force on the world stage, but they looked at it and said, hey, we don't rebuild this thing. If something doesn't happen, we don't unite here, we're going to be a non-factor anymore. So Winston Churchill proposed the creation of the United States of Europe. And rather than leading the powers of the Europe, Germany and France continued to fight one another, okay? They agreed to form the Franco-German Alliance, and with that union, the massive job of creating a United States of Europe began. Now, they had a grand design here. They just didn't say, well, let's join and sign a few little pacts and it's all going to be okay. Nope. They had a grand design, a model that they were establishing. Grand design for decades. Economic union was the first thing. And it's been happening for decades, I should say. So the economic union, the path of the political, path to political union, they knew. The idea was for the nations of Europe to be joined together economically, believing that the political union would inevitably follow. And it did. In 1957, the common market was formed. Six nations, West Germany, France, Italy, Belgium, Luxembourg, and the Netherlands, they joined together to build this common market. And it was so successful that other nations wanted to join in. They thought, well, hey, you know, this is going to be a lot, that we'll have a powerful union here. And by 1992, the common market consisted of 12 member nations of Europe. And the dream of total economic unification, it had been realized. All tariffs between those states in Europe were abolished. A person, just like here in the United States, a person could raise crops in one country and sell them in another, like you would here in, raise crops in Indiana and sell them in Ohio. The mission had been accomplished. And so, but what their goal, really, they knew if they got everybody together economically that the political union would follow. That's exactly what happened. It was now time for the next step, and that was the formation of the United States of Europe. The next step was that the political union. Talks were held in Maastricht, Holland, and the Maastricht Treaty was signed. 1993, the Maastricht Treaty was put into effect, and the goal was total political union. A common money was founded, which was called the euro. A physical euro coins entered into circulation January 1, 2002. And since Europe's goal was no longer a common market, the name of the common market was changed to the European Union. And the European Union, as it is now often called, is the rebirth of that Holy Roman Empire, prophesied about thousands of years ago. Well, now we have a constitution. Since the United States of America had a constitution, they felt that the United States of Europe should have its own constitution. So the treaty establishing a constitution for Europe was signed on October 29th, 2004 by representatives of then 25 member states of the European Union. That constitution was then placed before the people of each of the member states for ratification. All 25 nations had to ratify the new constitution by popular referendum. Well, that was a problem. Without unanimous agreement, the constitution could not be adopted. Well, it was almost a mission impossible from the get-go. Two nations, France and Holland, voted no. And it appeared the European dream was dead once again. Well, the question is, when is a constitution not a constitution? People didn't buy into it. They thought, whoa, the Constitution can't do that. So they didn't sign it. But the politicians of Europe, they were not about to allow that 40-year dream of hard work to simply go down the drain. So they had to find a way around all the states having to ratify the Constitution by popular referendum. So one politician, he said, well, when's a Constitution not a Constitution? When we call it a treaty. Now, this is the political mind, everybody. And the fix was on. Ratification of the treaties did not require a public referendum. The parliaments of each state could ratify a treaty, and treaties, once ratified, became supreme law of the land. Okay? So they found a loophole, and they jumped straight through it. Well, then comes the Treaty of Lisbon, which is where we're at now. The member states of the EU signed the Treaty of Lisbon on December 13th, 2007, and the new treaty, not constitution, that was a bad word. The new treaty contained most of all of the elements that had been contained in the rejected constitution. The only remaining hurdle was the ratification of the Lisbon Treaty by each of the member states' parliaments. And so the campaign to get all of the nations to adopt the Lisbon Treaty, it was pretty fierce. The political dreamers of Europe that they said they were determined to have the United States of Europe, period. On November 3rd, 2009, the last member state ratified the Lisbon Treaty, and the European Union had its own constitution. Now, they called it a treaty, but I promise you it's a constitution. 16 days later, on November 19th, 2009, Europe elected their first president, Herman Van Rompuy, and its first foreign minister, which was Catherine Ashton. And at that point, what was prophesied about 2,500 years ago, the feet of iron mingled with clay. At that point, the Holy Roman Empire was officially born. So, is the current European Union really the rebirth of the Holy Roman Empire? You better believe it is. I stood before where all members who want to be a part of it have to go and apply. I've stood in Brussels, Belgium, and I've stood before the Charlemagne building. And I sat there and looked at that building, knowing the prophecies, and I thought, oh my goodness, this stuff is real. Now, I knew it was real before I went, but I'm saying, until you see some of this stuff, you would think, oh, this is pie in the sky. No, do your history. Go back and we've got a library of stuff that's documented all this stuff. But there are people that still believe the Roman Empire and the Holy Roman Empire one and the same. No, you got to get way past that. So what Angela Merkel and Macron are trying to build, and this unification that they've done, and they said we need an EU army to squelch the populist and nationalist uprising here in the EU and different things. What they're trying to do is they don't want any of the member states to even have a say in this European Union, in this Holy Roman Empire, Charlemagne's empire. That's what they're trying to relive. Remember, they signed this agreement between Germany and France in Aachen, Germany, the home of Charlemagne, where the Charlemagne Prize is given out. I've stood in the room where they give out the Charlemagne Prize. This is all very real, folks. And so this is what they're trying to create, a United States of Europe. And this is the model that the world looks to. If we can get this model set up, then we want the rest of the world to look like this. And that's why it was important that at the beginning of my program, I told you about Antonio Guterres, the current Secretary General of the United Nations, winning the, an avowed socialist, winning the Charlemagne Prize, the first Emperor of the Holy Roman Empire Prize. Because the world government is working in lockstep with these people on the European Union model. The leaders of Europe have already said, we need to take over the mantle of the United States in the vacuum they've created since Donald Trump has pulled out of the world government and this the United Nations, or not necessarily the United Nations yet, but the liberal international order, Donald Trump has pulled out of that in many ways. And so they said, hey, here we are, European Union, look at us. That's been the goal the whole time, everybody. And it's in your news every day, a direct fulfillment of the ongoing of this prophecy.
This has been End of the Age, brought to you by the faithful partners of End Time Ministries. If you're not currently a partner with End Time Ministries, or if you would like more information, we invite you to call us at 1-800-END-TIME. That's 1-800-363-8463, or visit us online at endtime.com.